This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Welcome to another episode of Business by the Numbers. I'm your host, Hunt Emmerich, CPA with Parr Mills & Associates. As I was working with one of my clients a couple weeks ago, I guess earlier this week, I was asked about effective labor rate. Now, their question had to do with what is a good percentage of your street rate or door rate to set for a goal as your effective labor rate. This is a super common question with a bit of a complicated answer. And this, with everything else you ever wondered about effective labor rate, is exactly what we're going to talk about this week. Before we get into it, I just want to stop and say thank you to you and the rest of the dedicated listeners. Remember, if you have a question that you want to hear answered on here, or just have a question for me, shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis.com. Want to talk to us about accounting and tax services for your auto repair shop? Shoot us a text at 301-307-5413. And last but not least, we cannot forget our dedicated sponsors, Promotive and Wicked File. If you need to hire the next rock star for your team, give Promotive a call. And if you need to get your back office under control, give Wicked File a call as well. It's time to hire a superstar for your business. What a grind you have in front of you. Great news. You don't have to go at it alone. Introducing Promotive, a full-service staffing solution for your shop. Let them do the heavy lifting and enlist your hiring partner online at gopromotive.com. Turn chaos into clarity with Wicked File, the AI for auto repair shops. Transform invoices into insights, protect cash flows, and stop losing parts, cores, or credits to maximize your bottom line. Get Wicked File. So as a quick reminder, if you are listening to this episode when it comes out live, then you have 1 week from seeing me live in person at SEMA and Apex. Reminder, if you want to come out and learn about taxes, financials, and whatever else I'm going to be teaching out there, come see us on Thursday in the ballroom at the Venetian, I believe. But if you're coming out there, I want to see you. Shoot me an email. Would love to meet up. We will be there for most of the week. Getting back to what we are talking about here, though, is the initial question. I wanted to start with the initial question because this is the question that you guys always ask. The rest of this week's episode is going to be what you guys really need to know, but I'm not going to bury this like a lot of times. If you are asking the question of Hunt, what percentage should my effective labor rate be as a percentage of my street rate? I'm going to give you an example here. Let's say that you charge $200 an hour. That is your door rate. That's your street rate. That is your stated labor rate. But anytime someone comes in, they end up, you know, the discount. We call it the Bed Bath & Beyond model. Everything is 20, 25% off. Let's say that you have a door rate or street rate of $200, but your effective labor rate is $150. That means that your effective labor rate is 75% of what your door rate is. Now, some of you might be saying to yourself already, well, that's not good. I've heard it should be within 10%. I'll give you another shot. Keep that in mind. So we got 200, getting 150, a 75% mix. Now, this next shop is at 100%. And right off the bat, you might be saying, well, this is going to be a better shop. And this hopefully changes your logic. This shop does $140 an hour. That is their street rate. That is their effective. They do not do any discounts, anything. If we look at that, their effective labor rate is 100% of their door rate. If we go back to the original question, what percentage should my effective labor rate be as a percentage of my door rate? Then do you think you're going to actually have an answer that you're looking for here? It's not that simple. There is a lot of people that run different models that discount a lot of things for marketing or, you know, optics purposes. I have a lot of clients that do not discount it at all. If I take a look at the top 10% of my shops, the shops that are making 35, 40% margin, and I did look at this, there is a range of effective labor rate from 75% to 110, meaning that there is a shop in there that is the most profitable shop that we have that they're only getting 75% of their door rate in effective labor rate. There's also a shop in there that somehow actually their effective labor rate is higher than their door rate. What does that mean? That means that there's probably effects outside of just this ratio that are really more important to understand than the percentage themselves. To truly understand this, and you guys can hear me alluding to this, that what we're looking at there is an output. Yeah, there is something to be gained about what your percentage is, your street rate and your door rate, but that should more probably match up to your own individual mindset, let alone kind of compare it to another competing shop or just another shop that you're talking to. To understand this, we need to understand what effective labor rate is. And I'll be honest with you, guys mess around with this a lot, that not all of you are going to agree with my methodology on how I even calculate effective labor rate. it's this much of kind of a bit of a mystery to people. But what I'm going to tell you is the absolute way that you calculate this is not necessarily important. Comparing yourself and comparing yourself to trends, improvements, and stuff is much more important here. To understand effective labor rate, we need to understand effective labor rate, or kind of the inner workings that get us here. And so this is kind of my most popular example. Think about what your labor rate is. Okay, remember whatever it is, whether it's $100, $150, $200. Think about how long it takes your technicians to do an oil change. You see where I'm going with this right now? So let's say it's you 30 minutes, 40 minutes, a half hour. It doesn't really matter. Stop right there and think to yourself, do you even charge enough on your oil change to even cover the labor alone? I doubt it. And it's almost all shops charge this at a discounted rate. And this is just one example of how your door rate or your street rate becomes your effective labor rate. You have a stated labor rate, and that's probably the labor rate that you're going to use if you're doing most general service. But if you have prepackaged canned jobs, those are almost always done at a discount, and oil changes are absolutely almost always done at a discount. In the most simplest sense, your door rate is just that. It is a number that you're posting on the door. It might be something that you're shooting for, but like I talked about before, a lot of people's business by design, they know they are never actually going to hit this. Your door rate is what's on the door. Your effective labor rate is actually what your business is doing. I think in a lot of times on this, ignoring your door rate altogether is probably the simplest solution. I see a lot of people that misunderstand their numbers because they're using your door rate. Well, I make $200 an hour and I pay my guys $80 an hour, kind of an extreme example. Why am I not making any money? There is $120 an hour that I should be pocketing every single time. But if I kind of have that same shop and I put into effective labor rate numbers and say, well, your technicians aren't really that productive, so they're probably costing you more like $100 an hour, not 80, and you're not getting anywhere close to $200 an hour. Your effective labor rate's more like 140. That same person is now looking at this as saying, all right, I should be profiting $40 for every hour sold, not the 120 that I thought. I will guarantee you that once you start looking at effective labor rates, some of these productivity numbers, some of these efficiency numbers probably start to make a lot more sense. Like always, I like to kind of go into these examples. And again, like I mentioned before, the oil change is probably the most common place to see this. It's happening in other areas of your business, but I guarantee it's happening in at least one spot. The most common places, before I get into the oil change on where this happens, oil change is number one. State inspections are another one. If you pay out or charge sometimes for the complimentary digital or your vehicle inspections, that's going to be on there. A lot of times pre-purchase inspections, I see people done at a discounted rate. Like I said, canned jobs. If you have a canned job that you're trying to be competitively priced for like brakes or something like that, you're probably going to be discounting on the labor side of it. Why do we see this so much? Well, because you guys are not willing to sell your parts at a loss. So you guys generally try to get your parts margin and your labor is whatever is left over. Again, at the end of the day, these people are going to pay this and you can chop it up a ton of different ways, which is why going back to the original question, what should my percentage be? It makes it so hard because there are so many variables here. But let's use that example that I was talking about before of an oil change. And let's say that my labor rate is $150 an hour. If I pay my technician a half hour and I charge my customer $75 for an oil change, what is my labor rate? For any of you guys thinking that you're slick here, saying, well, if you're charging them $75 and it's taking your technician a half hour, your labor rate's $150 an hour. That would be true if the oil was free or we were not charging anything for the oil. But let's say the oil cost me $30 and, you know, I want to make sure that my parts margins stay in line. I charge $60 for the oil. If I charge $60 for the parts cost, how much am I really charging for the labor? It'd be what, $15? What is my labor rate now? If I'm only getting paid $15 for a half hour of work, I multiply times two, and my effective labor rate for this job is now $30. It's real simple. You take the money in labor that you sold and divide it by the amount of hours. This is how many hours you really sold and what you really got paid for those hours. Looking at something like this, you might be saying to yourself, well, Hunt, how am I ever going to make my street rate on oil changes or package jobs? Probably never are. And you can also look at this here and say, well, Hunt, what if I didn't charge anything for my parts and I only charge for the labor? Again, we're going to talk about this a little bit later, but you can see how easy this can be manipulated, even though the actual price of the customer is never going to change. And this is why I get so frustrated, because this is one of the most often compared figures, but just like we made an example of in that oil change, three different shops are going to chop up that same $75 ticket three different ways. If you have guys that are hourly, you might not even care about giving the technicians any hours on this because it doesn't actually go into their pay. And you might be looking at this of saying, I'm not getting any money for labor, so I'm not going to call this labor. It's just parts. I've seen that. I have other guys where their technicians hate to do oil change, and it's very hard for their flat rate technicians to do it. Instead of paying a half hour, they pay 75 or 0.75 for there. There are so many different variables here that makes it very hard to compare yourself to another shop. Again, to kind of hammer that home here, let's go through an example of two different shops. It's similar to what we talked about before. Do you want that one that has 75% or the one that has 100%? We don't have enough data to make that decision, yet we still try to do that sometimes. If I have two shops that do a very similar amount of work, both average around, let's say, $1 million a year, and half of that is labor, so both of these shops are doing around $500,000 a year in labor sales. Both have a similar cost of labor and around $35 an hour or so flat rate. One of these shops is at $189 an hour, and the other one is around $144 an hour for their street rate. Which shops makes more money, and what shops would you rather have? This is a bit of a trick question because, as you probably imagined, we don't really have enough information to make that determination on which one of these shops we want. And also, we make the big argument that why are we even talking about our street rate? Because it is just that. It's what's posted on the street. It's what's posted on the door. It's not what's happening in real life. Behind the scenes, what's really going on there is that shop that's at 189 has always struggled with their effective labor rate. And his realized rate, or his effective labor rate, is less than $130, probably around $128. On the other hand, that shop that really doesn't, you know, play around with their pricing at all, and their street rate's $144, they're still recognizing an effective labor rate of $140. Very similar to that question I talked about before. Which shop would you take? This is a prime example of working harder, not smarter. Which shop did more work? The shop with a technically higher labor rate did much more work because even though their door rate was higher, their effective labor rate was lower. That means for them to have the same amount, the same $500,000 in labor sales, that shop with the higher labor rate actually had to do much more work. Their effective labor rate was low, only at $128 an hour, so they had to do 3,900 hours to produce the same $500,000 in labor sales. Now, that other shop with that cheap door rate or that cheap street rate on there, they were able to produce the same amount of labor sales, the same $500,000 in labor sales with only 3,600 hours. They were averaging around $12 an hour more per hour. They were able to do the same amount of sales in 10% less hours. Makes perfect sense. Who cares what your street rate is if your effective labor rate is higher? Effective is the one that people are paying. Street rate is what you're charging. Remember this stuff, guys, when you're starting to compare this stuff. Also, if you look at a business like this, these businesses are doing the same while one of them is actually doing less work. We don't care about outputs. There could be an argument here that you're saying, well, I would like to have this other shop because they're more productive. But again, are we going to reward people that work harder or work smarter? Are you in this business to sell more hours or to make more money? Are you in this business to have higher in sales, higher in street rate, or more profit? Effective labor rate and hammering that home and getting the understanding of behind what truly affects this stuff is going to be your path to hopefully increasing your effective labor rate, which we know ultimately will increase your profit.
Shop owners, are you struggling to find and retain top-tier talent for your automotive shop? Introducing Promotive, on the web at gopromotive.com. With over 40 years of combined industry and recruiting experience, we're the ultimate staffing solution. We go beyond traditional agencies. Our team provides dedicated recruiters and account managers advising on processes, compensation, and benefits. We focus on placing technicians and service advisors with shops that offer the best culture, training, and long-term growth opportunities. Trust our experience to match the right talent to your shop. We carefully select shops that value employee excellence and provide an environment for success. Our dedicated team leads the entire process, leveraging our industry knowledge and expertise. Partner with Promotive and experience their advantage to help you build a high-performing team that drives your shop's growth. Visit GoPromotive.com today and let us help find and keep the best talent in the industry.
Every month, auto repair shops can lose over $20,000 in uncredited parts, cores, and lost profits. Wicked Files' AI-powered software is a game changer. It helped one shop owner recover over $10,000 in missed credits, and others have recovered tens of thousands more. Wicked File puts cash back into your business and hours back into your day. Stop leaving money on the table. Visit wickedfile.com to learn more and get started today. This all relates back to the core idea of labor profit really just comes down to two things, pricing and productivity. And pricing is the easiest thing, sell for high and buy it for cheap. But like we mentioned before on this, the part that most people miss on this is when you're looking at pricing, are you actually looking at the real price your customers pay effective, or a fairy tale number, which is your door rate? Productivity is fairly simple though. How many hours are in the building and how many hours are you selling? Again, this assumes a consistent labor rate. If I have a guy that sold me 40 hours, would I be happy? Sure, obviously that's pretty good. Now, what if those 40 hours were sold at a total of $200? No, not so much at all. Numbers don't lie, but even you can see right there that if you only look at one side of this, it can be a little bit confusing. Great, 40 hours were sold, but only at a total of $200 an hour. Now, if you're going to look at that at the end of the week, you're going to say, man, why do we only have $200 in labor sales? And you might go back to the technician and be like, what the heck is going on here? How did you only sell 1 hour of work? But then what you might find out is, no, I sold 40 hours of work. The technician did 40 hours of production, and the issue is actually on the counter. The tricky part here is you guys all mess around with this in different ways. That example before the oil change, one shop will charge nothing for parts and all the labor. The other one will charge all on labor and nothing for parts. One of them is going to have a higher effective labor rate. The other one is going to have a lower effective labor rate. At the end of the day, both of these guys charge $75 for an oil change and their bottom line profit will be exactly the same. Does that mean that you have to change the way that you price things? No, maybe, right? If you learn something from here, but it means be careful comparing yourself to other people. Whether you're at 100% effective labor compared to your street rate or 50%, it really doesn't matter if you're trying to compare yourself to other numbers. Anything can be improved, and comparing yourself to yourself is going to be the most beneficial thing and arguably the most accurate. The improvements are fairly simple. Either change your street rate or bring up the overall average, or identify which key jobs are bringing this down. One of the most helpful things that I use when I take a look at this is I will sort all of the jobs that I did, and most shop management softwares will allow you to sort it by effective labor rate. What I see on here for most businesses is 90% of your work is all going at or around kind of your stated labor rate, maybe a little bit down below. And what you're going to notice is 10 to maybe even 50% of your business, you're doing it at a substantially lower rate. I will give you two examples, one of which that you probably have an actionable item and another one that you probably don't. One of my clients, his labor rate is extremely low, or his effective labor rate is like almost 50% of what his door rate is. It's been an ongoing issue when he came to us as a client. It was one of his struggles and he never had his financial setup in a way that we could ever really unpack this that much. But what we found out is once we started digging into this, he had kind of two businesses inside of one. He is in Texas, so they do a massive amount of state inspections. What we found out is about 50% of the jobs that he did, his effective labor rate was in the toilet because all of these were state inspections, very low tickets. We looked at the other half of his business and all of those were virtually right at his door rate, meaning he is making money on the work that he thinks that he's making money on. The ones that he's not making money on are state inspections. He has no choice. When he's looking at his business and he's looking at the overall thing, yeah, my effective labor rate is 50% of what my door rate is. He's got a very successful shop. And looking at that, there's probably not a whole lot of room for improvement. Let's say you take a look at your same business and you notice, yeah, you know what, hon, around 5% of my sales are going to oil changes or inspections. And I know this, I would expect a lower than average effective labor rate. But maybe by uncovering this and taking a look, you also notice that some of your suspension or canned job stuff are coming at a lower amount too. In the past, you might have wanted to be competitive on there, but maybe you change your mindset. These are the areas you have to improve. If your labor rate is $150 and there is a category where I'm at $140, that is not going to be my main target on trying to boost my overall effective labor rate. I'm going to look at categories that are in the $70, $80 range and say, if I can bring these up $10, $20, then I can limit my downside. When you're trying to fix effective labor rate, and if you want to do this, you can, it's going to be very hard to try to make it up on the upside. Instead of going and saying, well, I'm going to try to beat my street rate on some of my more expensive jobs, try to limit the downsides. And that is the most common solution. Ultimately, what a lot of people find is this is the way that I'm running a business. If you do zero state inspections, your percentage of effective labor rate to street rate is going to be much higher than my clients that don't do its inspections. It's just, there's no way around it. You're going to have to package these jobs differently. Does that mean that these are less profitable shops? No. Does that mean that they need to look at their numbers a little bit differently? Absolutely. As always, please share with friends. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for future episodes, shoot me an email at podcast@parmls.com. Just want to say thanks again for listening on the Aftermarket Radio Network. You can find all shows on the aftermarketradionetwork.com and on your favorite podcast listing app. Thanks again for joining me on Business by the Numbers. Stay safe out there, and I'll talk to you all next week.
You've been listening to Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Download our exclusive podcast app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com because the best conversations in the industry start here. Have a question for Hunt? Check the show notes for Hunt's email or text Parmelis at 301-307-5413.